Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
My uterus is being torn out with a rusty hanger.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Hi. Carrie. Hi. Hi.
Hi. Hi, this is Luke.
Hi.
Hi, this is Luke.
Hi.
Hi, this is Luke.
Hi.
Hi, this is Luke.
Hi.
She's Carrie. Welcome to Bad Rapport.
Episode number 35.
Holy shiznit.
Yay.
So, what's new in your life, Carrie?
I
understand interesting things are happening to your uterus.
Painful things are happening to my uterus. I hate to go there, but lately we've managed to time our podcast recordings perfectly for the worst day of my Auntie Flo visits, like every other podcast, and it kind of sucks.
Well, it just, you know, ensures that you're going to be at your most passionate, you know.
I'm passionately sleepy. So, in chronological order, I recorded a song, and that would be a week and a half ago. I recorded this song that Luke wrote because I asked him to.
Yes.
We'll be playing it later, and it's about Return of the Jedi, so I had to get, you know, Star Wars man to write my song for me because I'm not a legitimate, you know, Star Wars fan. So, you know, I'm already enough of a poser for recording the song, but trying to write the song would have been just ridiculous. Plus, it's funny. It's a lot funnier the way it is, I'm sure, than it probably would have been if I had written it. And then, so we recorded the song, and then Chris Mezzalesso did a voice in it, and I think it turned out really well, although I've gotten not very much response.
You have 8 comments thus far.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's pretty cool. I forgot to promote it to my choir because I was too interested in getting my birthday song sung to me at choir rehearsal. And the reason I should promote it to my choir, other than I should just promote my crap, is that originally I sang the song Java Jive, which is like a Manhattan Transfer song. Or actually, it's probably an old song. It's an old song from the 40s originally, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but, 1940 is when it was written.
I had like a Manhattan Transfer type arrangement of it for 4 female voices. And... then I just realized at some point, oh, this awesome song should be called Jabba Jive, and it should be about Star Wars. And originally I was going to record that with, I should say I sang Jabba Jive with the Nothing But Trouble group that I have talked about in podcasts of long ago when we sang in Vienna and stuff. But originally I was going to have Jabba Jive to be me, Moonbeam, Tara, Doohan, and Kiki, but and that we were gonna like sing it at MarsCon, but I'm the only one of those 4 females that are actually going to MarsCon, so I just sang the song myself, and of course I'll be singing it at MarsCon. So then I went to Flat Top Grill for Valentine's Day with my husband. You gotta say like that, you know. Husband.
Okay.
And I knocked down 2 really large drinks, and then they moved us to a better table because I did that, even though it was actually an accident.
Oh, you mean you spilled them?
Yes.
I thought you meant that you, like, you drank them quickly.
No.
You knocked down.
No.
And that you got so drunk, I'm gonna sit wherever I want. I'll be at this table over here.
I think this is the part where I'm supposed to be laughing, but I'm not. Oh, god damn it. Who's calling me? Oh, I'm taking a phone call. Pause. Hello? So that was my mother-in-law wishing me a happy intermission day because since yesterday was my birthday party and tomorrow is my actual birthday, today is birthday intermission. Indeed. Anyways, at dinner with my husband, Josh gave me a card, and I gave him a card, and I gave him an artwork that I commissioned from the Great Luke Ski to make, and it is, would you like to describe it, and then I'll explain it?
Well, you should probably explain the inside joke behind it first.
Oh, God. So Josh made up this voice for Chicago's Lawrence Avenue, which is a north side street that it's got a whole lot of like Mexican restaurants and like it's kind of a barren wasteland for, you know, for being a city street, kind of sorta. Although if you get deep enough into it, you get the Aragon Theater there. It's like one door down is the Green Mill, famous Green Mill thing, but the part of Lawrence that we had to drive on, it would just always be, like, unbelievably slow traffic because it's one lane each way. That's one of the reasons. It's probably not the slowest street you could take to get east-west, but it's one of them. And it's one of the, you know, major arteries that was close to where we used to live in Andersonville. And Josh decided to invent a voice for Lawrence Avenue. And a Lawrence Avenue will always start off a conversation like this, you know, "Hi, Luke, this is a package of Scotch bubble mailers." And then Luke, or in this case it would be me, would say, "Lawrence Avenue." And then Lawrence Avenue would say, "Oh, you got me. How did you know?" And this is the shtick, Josh did it once, like that, but then, like, in future times, he would be trying to do Lawrence Avenue, and he'd do it differently, and I'd be like, "No, you can't do it that way, you have to do it this way, you have to go," and, like, I trained him until he would do it exactly like I just did it. "Oh, you got me, how did you know?" Like, it had to be in that exact intonation.
The inflections are important.
Yeah, everything about it had to be exactly like I just did, and then, like, as long as he did it that way, I'd go into giggle fits. And, like, you know, usually he's the one doing the voice, but sometimes I do the voice, as you can hear, and Lawrence Avenue just pops up, you know, "Hi, Josh, this is God," you know.
Lawrence Avenue!
"Oh, you got me. How did you know?"
So, Carrie, having explained this to me in the past, said she wanted as her Valentine's Day gift to Josh be some sort of artwork representation of that, and I came to the conclusion that it needed to be done as a 3-panel comic strip so we could illustrate the, you know, progression that happens with that whole recurring shtick. So I drew a cartoon of Carrie and Josh on the street, Carrie saying something to the effect of, "Oh, I'm sure going to miss living in Andersonville," and then Josh saying, "You know, looks like we're going to have to hire a moving company," and then in the next panel you see them with a voice from outside of the panel saying, "Hi, Carrie and Josh, I have a moving company, and I can help you move," and then in the final panel, which is the big main one across the bottom, we see a wide shot in which the street has kind of peeled itself up from the pavement and anthropomorphized itself into, like, a face and a mouth and stuff, and Carrie and Josh are saying, "Lawrence Avenue," and Lawrence Avenue says,
"Oh, you got me. How did you know?"
So, I Carrie...
Did you say the tie already?
Oh, yeah. I decided to make Lawrence Avenue wearing a tie made of, you know, what would normally be the yellow stripes in the street.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that was Luke's idea. Basically, the only part that was my idea was that it had to be a piece of street that had partially peeled up and was, like, you know, had a dopey face.
So, Carrie paid me for this work, and I drew it up.
I also paid him to, like, get a frame and wrap it and everything. Mm-hmm.
So I dropped it off at your work on Valentine's Day itself, all wrapped up so that you could give it to Josh, and Josh seemed to enjoy it and love it.
Yeah, since he's super duper uber macho and tough, you know, he didn't react at all. You know, he didn't really have a couple tears of happiness when he saw it or anything like that, because that's not something Josh would do. But, you know, we ended up spending like a full solid 15 to 20 minutes while we were waiting for our food, just staring at it and, like, you know, loving on it. And then I had to cover up the artwork with the wrapping paper so that we would spend, so that me and Josh would spend the rest of our Valentine's Day, like, looking at each other instead of staring at Luke's art. So,
And you, if you would like to order art like that, you can go to artbyluksky.com and hire me.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, you know, if you want to hire Luke for something, it doesn't have to be in a certain specific formula. You know, you can hire him, you can, like, I had this idea, can you do this? You know, and then he does that.
I'll go more into things of that nature later in the show.
So, then, on Friday, we met up with Bill and Moonbeam and Baby Ferris, and Ken and Aaron were around for a little while on Friday, but they had to go because Aaron had a talent show. So me and Josh and Bill and Moonbeam and Baby Ferris all went out to Naperville to meet Weird Al Yankovic. Which me and Josh had never met, but Bill and Moonbeam had met him several times. Ferris had never met him, though, so it was a first for Ferris. Don't think he's going to remember, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool, you know. He came out and did this presentation, and as I already stated on the Pod of Destiny, we might not have been able to go if it wasn't for Ken Sherlock helping us out and realizing that we needed to get these things in advance because we didn't realize that. Although, I think of like another 100 people were there that didn't realize that and still got in, so, but not sure. Anyways, you know, it was really interesting. You know, I had been up close to Al before, but it was in concert, so I'd never seen him just like casually dressed. You know, he was wearing like black jeans with like a hole in the butt. And not like to be funny or humorous. It just happened to have a hole in the butt. So I think from that moment I was like, okay, I'm not gonna be starstruck. I really appreciate his work, but he is just a man. So I'm just gonna I'm just gonna approach it like that. And for the first half of the presentation, I really was mostly looking at his butt and the back of his hair because of where I happened to be sitting, or the back of a giant sign that was in my way. And then as the nervous blonde lady from the bookstore was asking him questions, and he has, like, funny, sarcastic answers for everything. He doesn't, two out of three questions are automatically answered sarcastically. And then once he started taking questions from the audience, because it was in, like, this, It was not a theater in the round stage, but it's like a three, you know, audience on three sides of a big, you know, thrust stage. So once he started taking questions from the audience, then he was walking all over the place all the time, so I could see him a lot more, you know, and we were right there anyways. It's not like he was far. I mean, he was right there because it's a room for like 250 people at the most. So that was cool. Of the four of us, I was the only one to ask him a question because I was just like, I was getting sick of like the silly questions from the audience. And there was a decent number of kids there. Oh, did I mention he was there to promote his book? He didn't read from his children's book, When I Grow Up, as we thought he might read from it. But he was there to promote it and sign it. And that's what that was all about.
I believe he has, he recorded himself reading the entirety of the book and put it on iTunes.
Yeah.
And it's only like 7 or 8 minutes long because, you know, children's books don't have an intense amount of text in them.
Oh, I wonder how much he sells that for.
Probably not too much. I mean, you know, anyway.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Okay, sorry. Hi, Josh. You're on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Hey. I'm just calling to, well, tell you what, I'll text you. Okay.
Text sounds good. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Lawrence Avenue.
I figured if it was that important, he would have asked us to stop recording. I'll find out in a moment. Anyways,
So what did you ask Al?
Well, I asked him, you know, to explain, you know, how he got hooked up with the artist, and now his name is slipping my mind, Wes something, Sturgis or something like that. Because, like, you know, there's a lot of annoying questions, you know, where people didn't want to talk about the book at all or didn't even want to talk about his music. And it's like, what's your favorite color? You know, what if you could do blah, would you blah, blah, blah? You know.
Are these coming from children?
Some of them and some of them
no. If a child is asking questions like, what's your favorite color, then fine, I'll forgive a kid.
Right, but not all of them were kids. So,
what is Al's favorite color?
Well, I don't know if it was a favorite color. Favorite food, I think, was asked, and I don't remember the answer or if it was a joke answer. But his answer to favorite TV show was Police Squad.
Yeah.
He
used to always say his favorite movie was Top Secret, which I can certainly understand.
Yeah, so I just asked him about the artist, which he got hooked up through the publisher. It wasn't like some guy that he knew, but it's really awesome art. It's really appropriate if you get a chance to, you know, even just Google it just to see some of it.
I believe he took the recordings, or at least sections of the recordings of him reading the book, and they made a YouTube video incorporating the art and kind of slightly animating it a little bit, so it kind of,
yeah,
you know, plays out like an animatic or something. So you could YouTube that as well.
One of the memorable questions was, someone asked him, like, well, since artists take your songs as a sign that they have made it, what was the sign that you had made it? And he said when he was on The Simpsons was the sign that he had made it. And someone else asked him, you know, since you make the world laugh, what makes you laugh? And then he said, if you hold me down and tickle me. So then he started to sign right there on the stage. They just set up the table and he started doing the signing. And our tickets were 134 through 137. So we had a while to wait. So we recorded a podcast, Moonbeam Breastfed Aaron. Moonbeam Breastfed Ferris 10 feet away from Al. And she didn't even have a cover because she forgot it in the car. So that was, like, kind of funny. Like, you know, not funny, but just kind of, you know, interesting. You know, in theory, you know, Al has possibly seen Moonbeam's boob.
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded the first half hour of a podcast, and it was pretty fun. And Ferris was really good during the whole thing, and he had an adorable Al TV shirt that Moonbeam made for him. And then it was finally our turn. I was first of the four of us, and Josh basically went with me. He wasn't personalizing books. He was with his autograph. He was just signing Weird Al Yankovic. Because there's, you know, he had to sign like 250 books in one night, so I can understand. And I, you know, I had talked to Luke ahead of time, like, you know, should I do this or should I do that? And he's like, yeah, you should do that. So I walked up to him and I'm like, hi, my name's Carrie Dalby. I am the female vocalist for Luke Ski. And he was like, oh, okay. And I was like, and I record Songs for the Fump and Dr. Demento, and so here's my albums. And I gave him my CDs. The copy of Happy Ranch I gave him wasn't, like, super new. I couldn't find one of my new ones, but, and then I, like, had to wash it with a little wipe to make it look clean. But the Giant Kitten was new, and I was like, you know, a giant kitten was on top, and I'm like, that one's better if you only have time for one. And he was like, oh, thank you. And he was like really nice, really genuine and sweet about it. And then we took a picture of me and Josh and Al and then Bill and Moonbeam talked to him. And that's basically how that went. I'm leaving a detail out, but I'm doing that on purpose.
Okay.
So, you know, then we got our stuff and left. And then,
But it was an enjoyable experience for you?
Yeah, and I wasn't shaking or like, you know, maybe like a tinge of butterflies, but it was really, you know, I didn't treat it as any big deal because, you know, he's a very talented man, you know. And, you know, he looks really good for his age. He's like 50, 51, right?
I think so.
But, he's just a man. He's not a god. And I try not to do the starstruck thing anymore like I used to when I was, you know, a teenager. Or in my 20s, even. Ugh, my voice hurts. Okay, so then, you know, the rest of the weekend was spent with Bill and Moonbeam and, me and Bill and Moonbeam and Josh all, they stayed at, and Ferris, they stayed at me and Josh's house. So we got up on Saturday and Bill was like, let's watch Saturday morning cartoons. And so we turned on the Roku and we were looking for cartoons that, it ended up being some crappy cartoon that I didn't like, some boys cartoon that I was just ignoring. And then the other one was Rainbow Bright and the Star Stealer, which we ended up playing the entire thing, and we came to the conclusion that it is not one of the better Rainbow Bright movies, but it was actually kind of horseshit. I'd watch it again just to look at the colors and stuff.
The Murky and Lurky are the bad guys, right?
In the series, Murky and Lurky are the bad guys.
And Lurky... Which one is the big fuzzy one with the big nose?
I think that was Lurky.
All right. I always liked Lurky. He was always like, look at all the pretty colors.
Yeah. Maybe he's a secret inspiration for Lawrence Avenue. But in Rainbow Bright and the Star Stealer, the motion picture, there's not just Murky and Lurky. There's Murky and Lurky and this one badass princess and this other badass princess and this like these robots and this and that and the other thing, and there's like 95 villains, and it was just totally convoluted.
It was very anime, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. To some degree. It was pretty anime, but there didn't need to be 95 villains. I mean, the whole plot was just ugh. It was not good. I need to watch some of the better Rainbow Bright movies. I talked about that a lot more than I planned. And Ferris had his first solid food, which was a pear, at my house. And then he played his first video game, which was Chuzzle on the iPad. And he made a total of, over the course of the weekend, he made a total of 9 Chuzzle matches. Which Chuzzle is like, didn't I show it to you? It's like,
yeah,
it's Bejeweled like, for 3-year-olds with tribbles.
Yeah.
And then finally, you know, Moonbeam made us pork chops, and then finally, and that was tasty, and then finally we went out to Galloping Ghost Arcade in Brookfield with Luke and Ken, and we played video games there, and it was fun. And was there anything you wanted to say about Galloping Ghost?
Well, I'll throw that in later when I talk about what I've been up to.
And then, Sunday, which was yesterday, we had my birthday party, and a whole bunch of people were there, and much fun was had, and Sarah made cupcakes at the last minute, and I didn't properly thank her yet, and we had Subways, and I ate the famed nacho cheese Doritos dipped in nacho cheese that I was planning to save for my actual birthday, but I decided it would be better for the party, and we had pizza and Rock Band and... a trivia game called You Don't Know Jack and other games, and fun was had.
Yes.
Okay.
So, since we're 24 minutes into the podcast, at least we'll throw the song break in here. But before we do, It wouldn't be birthday intermission without birthday intermission gifts.
Oh.
So I put a lot of effort into wrapping this one. So
this Amazon box that.
Yes.
Oh, we get to. Here. You have a box cutter, I hope.
I have this thing. That'll do.
This is the intensely exciting part of the podcast where a box is cut open.
You took the box! Let's see what's in
time.
The box!
Hopefully I won't injure myself while trying to hurry up. I actually did get another gift from Luke and Sarah yesterday. It was pink scarfy things. And I got from Matt and Tara, we got Inception on Blu-ray, and we got Plants vs. Zombies for the Xbox 360. This is a very long box, by the way.
There's potentially two items in here for you.
A sheet music stand! How did you know?
Okay, I guess the other one hasn't arrived yet. So okay. You still got one more gift coming.
Yay!
From us.
Thank you, Lukeski.
That was from me and Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
And when I say me and Sarah, I mean pretty much Sarah.
Well, you picked it out.
And then she ordered it on Amazon. So now
you
have
picked out all the pink scarfy things.
Yes, I picked out the pink scarfy things. out of literally about two dozen of them, I picked the top five.
Yes,
so.
And they were all perfect carry pink. I should have worn one today. I didn't even think about it. I'll wear one tomorrow.
So next time you're recording music, you will have that to
Yay!
Put your music on, your lyrics or whatever.
Or when I'm just practicing right. or whatever.
So speaking of Weird Al and speaking of birthdays and of Devo Spice, who we haven't specifically mentioned, but his presence has been around tonight in a manner of speaking.
And we'll come around.
Yes. We're playing this track from which version of the... I guess that would have been from Prosthetic Lips way back in the day is when this came out.
I have no idea.
From one of the first Weird Al tribute albums, here is Sudden Death's cover version of Happy Birthday by Weird Al Yankovic.
A lot of beer. You should be good and happy that there's something you can eat. A million people every day are starving in the street. Your daddy's in the gutter with the wretched and the poor. Your mama's in the kitchen with a can of Cycle 4. There's garbage in the water, there's poison in the sky. I guess it won't be long before we're all gonna die. Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Well, what's the matter, little friend? You think this party is the pits? Enjoy it while you can. The monkeys in the Pentagon are gonna cook our goose. Their fingers on the button, all they need is an excuse. It doesn't take a military genius to see. We'll all be crispy critters after World War III. There's nowhere you can run to, nowhere you can hide. Cause when they drop the big one, we all get fried.
Come on, boys and girls. Come on, boys and girls, sing along, okay?
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Well, there's a punk in the alley and he's looking for a fight. There's an Arab on the corner buying everything in sight. There's a mother in the ghetto with another mouth to feed. Seems that everywhere you look today there's misery and greed. Of course you know the earth is gonna crash into the sun, but that's the reason why we shouldn't have a little fun. So if you think it's scary, if it's more than you can take, just blow out the candles and have a piece of cake. Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Welcome to Bad Rapport, the only podcast with a finite amount of crackers. I'm your host, the Great Luke Ski. Coming up on this edition of Bad Rapport...
finite crackers. Our finite crackers are finite. Discuss. Stop making me ad-lib. You know that I don't.
Okay. Well, anyway, Devo Spice, happy birthday, sudden death song. Go to devospice.com for all the information on his new forthcoming album, Gnome Sane, how you can get the album track by track on his podcast for free, and how you can purchase his album and get a nifty deal that I already explained in a previous episode on April Fool's Day.
Hopefully we didn't already play this last year.
No, we didn't.
But
as a part of the best of project, I've started compiling a list of all the songs you've ever played on this show, just so that we have a database.
I wish I had asked you to compile a list of all the shirts I ever wore.
Did I even wear pink today? Oh, I did. I didn't even think about that when I dressed today.
So, anyway, so what have I done? Capricorn happened, and you were there for that.
I guess I should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
Well, you can mention it.
Capricorn happened. A performance went down. Sarah and Josh and Ken were there, as well as Mike Nixon and many others. It was a good show. Yippee.
We had Buca di Beppo dinner.
Yes. And Sarah and I went to see Lewis Black, which was awesome. He was quite hilarious. And Sarah told him, yeah, you're the voice of my conscience. And he said, that's kind of creepy. So we got a picture with him, and that was really cool. Valentine's Day, Sarah and I went to Olive Garden, where there was a 1 hour and 5 minute wait?
Hour and 15 minute wait.
So then we left there and went to the Raj Palace, where there was a 0 minute wait and about as many people in the restaurant, and ate yummy Indian foods. It was tasty. What else happened?
You went to Galloping Ghosts.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me of that. So, yeah, just...
I have to remind you of the... I have to do that thing that I forgot to do.
Okay. So, there is, my usual thing on Saturdays is I draw at Ed DeBevick's the majority of the day, and then I head... If I know that they're sold out or near sold out, I head to Key Lime Cove for a couple hours later in the evening. But at some point, I tried to figure out kind of a rule for myself, you know, or at least a general guideline of... If I have a late evening rush there and I am there past 7:30 or even pushing it back maybe to 8, but if I'm there later than that and I'm still drawing people, then it's kind of reached the point where it's no longer worth my effort to go out to Key Lime Cove because, you know, I got to drive all the way out there. I got to, you know, bring my stuff downstairs, go repark the car, go back downstairs, set everything up. And by the time I do all that, if I'm, you know, going to be there for less than 2 hours of time, it just kind of feels like an overall waste because, you know, I'll very seldomly when I'm there for less than 2 hours do I make enough money to make me feel like it was worth my effort to have gone all the way out there. You know, sometimes I do, but most of the time I don't. Yeah. So anyway, so I kind of hit that threshold where I realized that I had a decent enough day. It was weird. The first half of the day was pretty much dead. The second half of the day, suddenly everybody in the world wanted a drawing from me there. So as time went on, I realized I'm probably not making it to Key Lime Cove. I wonder what Bill and Moonbeam and Carrie and Josh and everybody is up to. So I texted and found out they were going to Galloping Ghosts, which I had heard of but had never been to and really wanted to go. So I'm like, okay, well, if this pans out the way I think it's going to and I don't go to Key Lime Cove, I'm going to meet up with them at Galloping Ghosts. And indeed I did. I got out of there a little bit later than I wanted. But, you know, like I said, there were people there who wanted drawings, so I was able to, you know, I think I left about 8:45 and, got over there, and man, Galloping Ghost was just epic. It's all, well, okay, there are some new games there because, you know, obviously there are tons of awesome new games like Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Street Fighter 4 and stuff like that. But
which, like, the whole night, it wasn't that Marvel vs. Capcom didn't that have, like, you know, 15 people gathered around it at any given time all night.
Oh, yeah, it was a huge crowd. But they have, 100 to 150
classic old school games that they are restoring and repairing and having there, and you just play a flat fee of $15 to get in,
and then and you can all just play all night.
Yeah, they're all in free mode. So I played Q-Bert, and I, after three or four attempts, I managed to get the high score on Q-Bert. So I was the supreme noser. My score was somewhere just under 50,000, I think, but I was very proud of that because Q-Bert is the video game of choice for obsessive compulsives because the game is about turning all the bricks to the same color. And they have to be the same color. And when you have a game like that and you play it once and you don't get high score, you say, no, I must keep playing until I get the high score.
So you got the high score of the night then.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, I assume they turned all the games off every day, so all the scores reset to zero.
Josh didn't assume that, and he thought he had the second highest Tron score of all time. And I'm like, that was probably the second highest of the night, honey.
So I played some Burger Time. You played Burger Time.
I was, I'm not much of a gamer. I definitely wanted to get in some Cruisin' USA. And then I ended up liking, what was that taxi game?
Crazy Taxi!
Crazy Taxi, even better. But, although I didn't play it for long. But, I mean, I wanted to focus more on standing at a game next to my friends so that I was spending time with my friends instead of, like, going off in a corner for a half hour to play a specific game. And B, I was trying to get in a few games that I had never played before just so that I could say, okay, now I know what this is. So Burger Time was one of those games, which was Moonbeam's favorite game. So I got to experience a little bit of Burger Time, and I tried out Dig Dug for the first time ever and didn't totally get it, but, that was cool. And Space Invaders. I'm sure I must have played Space Invaders on Atari, although the version they had was really weird. I definitely played it on Atari. And I can't really remember what else, but, got in a few things I'd never tried before. So, got like a half a geek point for doing that.
I'm trying to think of all the games. I played Q-Bert, played Dig Dug, played Mr. Do, played Burger Time, Popeye, Rampage World Tour, Crazy Taxi. Some guy wanted me to play Street Fighter 4 with him, and I like fighting games, but I like kind of like watching other people play them because I've never been good at playing them myself, because to me it's just a bunch of random button mashing and I don't know what I'm doing. I hope I win.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I don't like those games.
I played one of the versions of Darkstalkers they had there. Man, that place is super awesome, and I even though it's quite far south, I would like to make plans to go down there. If Insane Ian or Shoebox ever come to town, we are taking them there. No doubt about it.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad of a commute for us.
Yeah. It's a lot closer to where I live, probably. It would be a great place to, get a bunch of shots for the Dig Dug music video.
Yeah, I like it even better than the Nickel Arcade. I was like, what could be better than a Nickel Arcade?
Yeah, because the Nickel Arcade, I mean, I guess, they are making some kind of an effort, but it's not like they really care about, restoring things and keeping them in working order. It's like, this seems to be more like a museum you could play in,
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was...
I mean, they have to have been concerned to some degree or else, the games wouldn't be playable, but...
Yeah. So, that hits most of the highlights of my past couple of weeks. I'm trying to think of what else I wanted to bring up before we move on to the next
thing. Can I do the thing that I didn't do?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So, a couple podcasts ago, you wanted to bring up the eternal argument of the genders. Should the toilet seat be left up, or should the toilet seat be put back down when the man is done urinating? And I was trying to remember the... little rhyme that I made up and invented to try to train Josh to put the toilet seat down, and it worked with moderate success. And it's not a song, it's a ditty, and it's entirely me. This is not a Josh song. I'm stalling for time because I'm trying to get my thoughts together so I say it right. But it It goes seat up, penis out, pee, pee, pee. Penis in, seat down, squee, squee, squee. And I repeat this to Josh over and over and over again until he memorized it. And in fact, he is the one who actually remembered it so that I could repeat it for you guys.
Wow.
Again, that is seat up, out, pee, 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 penis in, seat down, squee, squee, squee. And that's how that goes. And it worked with moderate success. What really worked is when we heard on the Paul and Storm podcast that cats can drown in toilets and that you have to put the lid down. So then every time I was done, I have to put the lid down. And so then every time he's done, he has to put both down. And so then it's more egalitarian or whatever word that he likes. So that's that.
Well, alrighty then.
Squee, squee, squee.
I'm gonna. It's rare than when
Sarah's
I see.
Sarah's heard this already.
All right. I'm going to throw a caution to the wind here with our outline and cut to something else, and then we'll go to the song break and then do News of the Stupid.
Okay.
So Stephanie, along with many other people I know, is in Madison, being a part of the sit-in protests of what's going on there with Scott Walker.
In Madison, Wisconsin.
In Madison, Wisconsin. And she told me, she called me today and told me that, she mentioned this on her Facebook, apparently some news person with a camera came up, like, you know, asking for an interview with her or something. And the guy, you know, she asked, well, who, you know, where are you broadcasting from? And he's like, oh, the Twin Cities. It's like, oh, what station? He said, like, you know, K, blah, 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 whatever the call letters were. But she's like, well, no, what network are you with? And she's like, the guy said, oh, Fox. And then she said, well, no, I'm sorry. I don't want you to interview me then. And then the guy said to her, well, then you're no longer allowed to watch American Idol, Glee, Family
what?
Guy, The Simpsons, or anything else on Fox.
What the fuck?
And then she said something like, you know, I'm sorry, you know, and then the guy walked away in, you know, and then he said, like, you know, we're union too, you know.
Oh, what the fuck ever? Whatever. Oh my God. You're not, oh, she's no longer allowed. No, she's,
yes.
She's, it's not illegal.
See, if I was there, I would have said, well, technically, you're not allowed to watch Fox, you know, from that affiliation, the Twin Cities. So when you go visit, you know, when you go to MarsCon, no turn on Foxy on TV in the hotel room, you know.
Oh,
but,
my God.
So, yeah.
It's okay to hate Fox News and not hate other Fox shows. I'm officially stating it and, you know, contradicting that asshole.
So, yeah. So I just found that interesting. But, you know, Steph ran into my mom and Pete the other day. They were there. My mom and Pete had been there for like 3 days, apparently protesting.
Yeah.
Steph has actually been staying, like literally sleeping in the Capitol Dome as she waits for a chance to testify.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, while they've been dubbed the Fantastic 14, John Kovalik made an awesome Fantastic Four parody logo. That's the Fantastic 14 to represent the 14 Democratic senators who fled the state
yeah.
and won't come back.
Yeah.
So it's like, and there hasn't been violence. There hasn't been arrests. I mean, it's like a total peaceful protest with tens of thousands of people there. John Oliver was there filming for The Daily Show today.
Yeah.
So it's like so epic. And like even, you know, the teabaggers who were showing up and trying to protest, it's like they're just kind of getting scoffed and
yeah.
laughed at, but nobody's starting any shit. So
can we put in a link on the show notes for a story if people don't know what's going
yes.
on, if they want to read the story that Josh linked to on Facebook is
yeah.
a really good one.
Because I'll admit, even I don't have a complete grasp on everything. I just have like a good general idea of what's going on, but yeah. And oh, I'll also put the link to, I found somebody posted a thing like the 45 best protest signs, you know, kind of like from
oh.
when, you know.
Yeah, shit, I gotta see that, definitely.
But I decided, in honor of Madison, Wisconsin, and the city I am proud of right now.
And used to reside in.
Lou and Peter Berryman. I believe Lou is short for Louise, because Lou is female. Lou and Peter Berryman did an awesome song called Madison, Wisconsin, so I'm going to play that right now.
Could be Luann also.
Possibly. Okay. So here's Lou and Peter Berryman with Madison, Wisconsin.
We take the show to Minnesota. We take the show to Monterey. We fly to Boston on a plane, and we drive to Portland, Maine, and we gig along the way. And at the end of each performance, we blow the audience a kiss. And when following the show, they come up to say hello, seems it always turns to this.
So how's old Madison, Wisconsin? Is that Paul Soglin still the mayor? And is Grandpa's expanding? Is the Club de Wash still there? I used to sit out on the terrace and watch my grade point disappear. For the life of me, I don't know how I wound up here.
Now I can see us in the future. We take a boat to Bengal Bay, and from Calcutta on a train to the Himalayan chain takes at least another day. We hike for weeks among the foothills. It feels like 700 miles. We ask a Sherpa, could you please help us carry all our cheese? And he turns around and smiles.
So how's old Madison, Wisconsin? Is that Paul Soglin still the mayor? And is Renabombs expanding? Is the Club de Wash still there? I used to sit out on the terrace and watch my Grade Point disappear. For the life of me, I don't know how I wound up here.
We leave Mount Everest behind us. We have the steamer tramp to Perth. Old Australia seems to me as far away as you can be and remain upon the earth. But in our Bucky Badger derbies, as we survey the billabong, we think we're really off the map till the local sees the cap and didgeridoo's a little song.
So how's old Madison, Wisconsin? Is that Paul Soglin still the mayor? And is Rennebaum's expanding? Is the Club de Wash still there? I used to sit out on the terrace and watch my Grade Point disappear. For the life of me, I don't know how I wound up here.
We leave Australia in a rocket. We hit the moon and take a walk. The craters all are full of guys with enormous buggy eyes, and they all begin to talk. It sounds like, hey, gadang vadida. Oh yeah, gadang vadida, hey. But we realize pretty soon they mean welcome to the moon, have a beer, and by the way.
So how's old Madison, Wisconsin? Is that Paul Soglin still the mayor? And is Rennebaum's expanding? Is the Club de Wash still there? I used to sit out on the terrace and watch my Grade Point disappear. For the life of me, I don't know how I wound up here. For the life of me, I don't know how I wound up here.
Yeah,
can I tell you all a story really quick?
Okay.
Oh, God.
And I'm recording this for potential podcast use. Maybe I'll use it, maybe I won't. But this is something, another story of my mom and how much she loves me and believes in me, which happened just now over the phone in the other room. So she has been going to Madison to be there for the protests against Scott Walker and all that stupid crap going down. You know, there's tens of thousands of people. Supposedly there's going to be 100,000 people there tomorrow. And she, you know, she said that there's rumors that either Obama or one of the Clintons will show up tomorrow. So She alluded to this yesterday via the message she gave to Steph to text to me when Steph ran into them at the Capitol, which I kind of knew this was coming when she called me. She's like, "Yeah, you really need to write a song." Because, you know, which is a good idea, but here's where it goes to, like, the bizarre extreme. Like, well, because, you know, blah, blah, blah. Obama, one of the Clintons might be here tomorrow. There's going to be 100,000 people here, and they're going to need a song to sing. So you should really get on this, and, you know, don't you want to have that many people singing your song? So let's break this down. You're not busy right now, are you? Because we could, you know, we need to come up with an idea for a song. We need to write it. We need to produce it and record it. Put it up on, I guess, Defump or something.
And then
put it on YouTube. Oh, wait, which means we'll have to have a video for it, too. So we got to make the whole video. You all are busy. You can help us with this project, right?
So we
got to get it posted by, like, you know, late tonight so that tomorrow morning,
preferably
everybody in Madison who has their computers on the street will find this video on YouTube, and then I'll memorize it. You know, over the first few hours, that whenever Clinton and or Obama show up, you know, they all can be singing this protest song. So that's how much my mom believes in me.
Yay! Wow. Yay. That's
awesome.
Or
she's insane.
And
or as a Democrat, that's reality.
So
who does she think you are, Tom Smith?
Exactly. Oh snap!
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spices at DevoSpice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess the stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me to incriminate.
This story was submitted by Tom Elliott. When Matthew Meguiar tried to rob the Fairwinds Credit Union by giving a teller a note that read, "This is a robbery, bills in bag," he hit a snag in his plan when the bag, once full, was too big to fit through the teller slot. When the teller pointed this out, Meguiar turned around and left without the cash. Bank employees recognized him as a regular customer, and he was soon arrested. While being handcuffed, the deputy was quite surprised when Meguiar's arm fell off. It was a prosthetic, making him a genuine one-armed bandit, but ironically, no longer a fugitive. He had been down on his luck recently, so he figured now was a time for risky behavior, or rather, to go out on a limb.
This story was submitted by Kevin Eldridge. In Delano, California, a California man attending a cockfight has died after being stabbed in the leg by a bird that had a knife attached to its own limb. The Kern County coroner says 35-year-old Jose Luis Ochoa was declared dead at a hospital about 2 hours after he suffered the injury in neighboring Tulare County on January 30th. An autopsy concluded Ochoa died of an accidental sharp force injury to his right calf. Sheriff spokesman Ray Pruitt says it's unclear if a delay in seeking medical attention contributed to Ochoa's death. Tulare officials are investigating, and no arrests were made at the cockfight. An expert on fighting chickens had this to say.
You don't want to mess with chickens, especially if there are coupons involved. Even if you survive, you could still end up in a fight scene that lasts several minutes, spreading all across Quahog and interrupting the narrative of your show. Cockfighting.
In Florida, a 15-year-old girl told her mother she had been attacked while jogging, prompting her mother to call the police. When deputies couldn't find evidence of the attack, the girl eventually revealed what really happened. She is a fan of the vampire-based Twilight movies and books, and had engaged in fantasy biting with a 19-year-old man, and was worried her mother would see the marks. The South Florida Sun-Sentinel reports that the Monroe County Sheriff's Office has charged the 15-year-old girl with making a false report. No charges have been filed against the 19-year-old man. However, charges will be filed against Stephanie Meyer for releasing this stupid crap into the world.
And finally, in Canton, Ohio, a woman has said yes to a marriage proposal that arrived by city bus. Laura Calametz looked out a restaurant window during a Valentine's Day lunch with her boyfriend and saw a public bus with an ad on its side that read, "Laura, will you marry me and make me the happiest man in the world?" Signed Mark. Calametz said she thought she'd have a heart attack. Mark Rose paid the transit agency $300 for the special ad and arranged for the bus to be parked in the right spot around noon on Monday. The Repository Newspaper of Canton reports the ad will remain in place for a week. Now it has the additional message, she said yes. People are romantic, and once again, they have proven it. This has been News of the Cupid.
Hey-o! All right, so I'm looking at my my outline here to decide what to talk about, because I put several things there. We could talk about some of them.
Okay. I'm all for not talking about all of them.
All right, well, let's go with stuff only Luke remembers, and I'll start off by saying the first thing I'm going to mention, well, there's two things I'm going to mention. They kind of go together, but the first one I definitely know others have heard of. It just kind of seems to fall into this category. There's a show I used to love when I was a kid on PBS called 321 Contact. So, do you remember that?
Don't think so.
Sarah remembers that.
I don't know. It, like, rings a bell, maybe, if you described it.
It was basically a show about science and stuff, but it took place in this kind of weird, cool apartment space, and there were these three teenagers or young adults that lived there, and I can't remember two of their names. It was a guy and two girls, but one of the girls was named Trini, and I thought that was such a cool name. So, but, you know, the opening theme song was, you know, pretty epic. That's a song that the Nick Adams, I would have loved to have them cover, you know. 3, 2, 1, contact. It's the answer. It's the reason. Oh. That everything happens, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that song, definitely. Must have seen the show a few times.
So, it was just a cool science show, and it had a lot of, just segments where they go to museums, and they talk to scientists, and you learn stuff about dinosaurs, or outer space, or, you know, optical illusions, or light, or whatever. So it was just a really great show, you know. So kind of, you know, being on PBS, it was always, you know, next to, like, you know, Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, you know, 321 Contact. They kind of all went together.
Yeah.
They even had a magazine that you could subscribe to, and I know that I was for at least some period of time. So I really love that. There was one segment, though, that was, I can't remember if it was on every episode, or if it was only on once a week or whatever, but it was a segment about three young detectives who would go out and solve crimes or whatever in a very Encyclopedia Brown kind of way. But they were called the Bloodhound Gang.
Oh.
So, you know, and they had an awesome theme song of their own. You know, whenever there's trouble, they're on the double. They're the Bloodhound Gang. And it was like a black teenage girl and like a young white boy and I think one other dorky, tall, white teenager guy, but they were like these three were the Bloodhound Gang, and they went out and they solved the mysteries.
Yeah.
And the one I always remember the most clearly was part of the mystery involved a man inside a house, like a mansion at night, and like they were out in the lawn and they kept looking up at the second floor of the house and they could see the shadow of the man walking back and forth in his room, like up against the blinds. They just saw the shadow of the guy, but it was very... It was, like, this weird, like, perfect silhouette of a man, and it would, like, go by robotically in one direction, and then it would go by, you know, very robotically in the other direction, like, kind of with an exact timing, and they heard some other noise they couldn't quite identify. And they later, you know, solved the mystery by figuring out that was just that guy's fake alibi to go off and be, I don't know, whatever he was doing, stealing diamonds, I don't know. But he was into model trains, so he had set up his model train track with a cutout silhouette of a man and a light pointing at the window so that it would create the illusion.
I swear I've seen this.
Yeah, so I also remember one where there was like a code that somebody had like taken a belt and wrapped it around somebody's cane and then like had written some words on it, so you had to like wrap the belt around the cane in order to figure out what the message was So when a rap group came along, you know, called the Bloodhound Gang, I was just thinking to myself, am I the only one who realizes where they got their name from? You know, because they've never mentioned 321 Contact in any of their songs as far as I can tell. So
we should play one of their songs. Do you think they're pod safe?
I'm less concerned about that and more concerned about the fact that I already picked out some songs.
Yeah, so. I know, but
We played Bloodhound Gang on the podcast before, so they've
we
been
have?
Yeah during episode 9.5. Remember that one where the podcast got lost? So I whipped up an episode.
Okay.
Anyway, the other thing, and this is another PBS show. This one is probably more obscure, and I finally figured out later on in life why it was so obscure. It was Canadian, and it was meant to be, you know, like some sort of Canadian equivalent to Sesame Street in a way, but the show was called Read Along.
Okay.
And the main character was a puppet who was a boot. And I think the character's name was Boot. And then the secondary character on the show was Shoe, but she was like pink and she was like kind of more like a high heel.
Yeah.
And her name was Pretty, I think was the name of her character.
Yeah.
And then they had, like, some human characters that were regular humans. They had this one guy who was kind of like an old explorer dude in a pith helmet, you know, kind of like, you know, that stuff. And, you know, it was just basically about reading and learning words and this and that. And it was – and then I remember as kind of an exciting new element to add to the show back in the days when there was, like, Dukes of Hazzard and Smokey and the Bandit and, you know, car chase and stuff was really all the rage. They brought in this female – Daredevil kind of character who was a roller skate named Dynamite Dinah. and then Dynamite Dinah had her own theme song too. And it's like, once again, why do I have such clear, vivid memories of this shit? And, you know, I don't remember most of my college education. I don't know why, but
yeah, I can't bring much to the podcast with my murky memories of vague things. I'm like, there was this one show that had puppets and it wasn't the Muppets and it wasn't Fraggle Rock. And I don't know what it was. Sorry. You know, I can't really contribute to these kinds of things.
But you remember Murky and Lurky from Rainbow Bright.
Yeah, but that's not obscure, you know? By the way, speaking of obscure cartoons, when you were writing your Hanna-Barbera polka, what, like, website sources did you use to gather lists of Hanna-Barbera shows?
I'm pretty sure the main one I used was from Wikipedia.
Okay, because I was listening to the Awesome Stuff You Should Know podcast. They were doing a whole podcast
that Scooby-Doo episode. I did hear that one.
You did?
I liked that one a lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and they was talking about the Hanna-Barbera corporate website where every Hanna-Barbera show that has ever existed is listed. So I was thinking you should, if you need podcast content, you should look through that for other, like,
you know what's weird?
Gems.
We actually never played the Hanna-Barbera polka on Bad Rapport, and I don't remember why.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think we were just trying to avoid playing Fump tracks once the Fump podcast started. Anyway, so, all right. Anything else I want to mention?
You guys definitely need to listen to whenever it comes out. I guess I should just promote it when it's out, but whenever the Pot of Destiny from this past weekend goes up, you definitely need to check that out. It's awesome. You might even be in it.
Possibly. Well, why don't we just have our next song and then, you know, finish off the rest of the podcast just because you said you wanted to keep it short.
Okay.
And we need to get Devo Skype. Devo Skype.
Might as well call him that now.
Maybe that's like he's like the Mirror Universe Devo Spice with like a goatee, and he shows up to and he's the one that turns Devo Spice into a robot voice when we're trying to record. So yeah, we gotta record a segment for the Fumpcast shortly. So here is a song by Carrie Dalby, written by Luke Ski.
Yes.
Did we already talk about it enough?
Yes.
All right. So here it is, Jabba Jive. Here we go.
Dewana Wunga.
Bib Fortuna. Bib Fortuna. Bib Fortuna. Luna Moona. Bib Fortuna. Bib Fortuna. Bib Fortuna. Luna Moona. I love life on Tatooine. I love the Jabba Jive cause he's so mean. His palace is keen, like the Star Wars canteen. The hut, the hut, the hut, the hut, the hut. Watch that Jabba drinking rum. Look on his tail, it's salacious crumb. He's fraggle like scum with a hand. hand up his bum. Um up, um up, um up, um up, um up it. Oh, this criminal thug, he is a wonderful slug. With the face of a pug, he's a smug kind of lug. A green-skinned hottie on the dance floor.
Trap door.
Gator ate her new translator.
Sing size noodle, snooty snout. Max Rebo Jabba jives all blue and stout. He'll twist and shout while Han is hanging out. A slab, a slab, a slab, a slab, a slab.
Luke's in a jam.
Aw, damn.
Those piggy gods taste just like spam.
Alien ham.
Luke's got a bone to pick with that rancor so quick. He fell for that old guillotine door trick.
That old stick.
That's when Jabba threw a fit. Took his Silpudger to the solid pit. I couldn't see it, but got a critical hit. On Boba Fett, on Boba Fett, on Boba Fett. Ooh, the big slimy meanie dressed lay like a genie in a golden bikini, which made the Jawas zucchini. Then came the part where his plot sank.
Walk in the plank. Player hater. Luke's dad is Darth Vader. Strangled by the ball and chain. Leia stopped the Jabba jive to end his reign. Luke rescued the dame. At the deck they took aim. And then we blew up, blew up, blew up, blew up. Down.
What's Luke plugging now? Yeah.
What's at the fump? What's at that fump?
Squee, squee, squee.
Right now at the fump, you can download for free something that's not Jabba Jive, because we don't know what that is yet for sure. We don't usually record on a Monday.
But it'll be on. It'll be by Possible Oscar.
We think. And Jabba Jive by me, Carrie Dalby. Merchandise Table by Raymond and Scum. Perfect Girl by Dynamite. Yellow Monster by TV's Kyle. I Never Go to Work. Nuclear Bubble Wrap. I like that song. What's in My Hot Dog by Steve Goody. Cooler Than Me by Insane Ian. And My Cat is Afraid of the Vacuum Cleaner Me First in the Gimme Gimme Style by Power Salad.
Hey, at the LooseKey.com store, you can buy all of my albums on MP3 format. Yes, because I'm pretty much out of stock on most everything in CD format right now. I will be by the time I go to MarsCon. So at the moment, I'm pushing the MP3 albums because it's data. So, artbyluksky.com. Yes, you can hire me for your parties. You can hire me to draw anthropomorphic representations of city streets in Chicago. or whatever.
Or whatever goddamn thing you think of.
Yes. The Dr. Demento Show. Listen and make requests. His website is drdemento.com. DrDemento.com. Yeah, you can make requests for songs that you like. Yeah.
You can request Jabba Jive by Carrie Dalby.
Wah? Yes, you can. Tour dates. MarsCon 2011. This is the last bad report before MarsCon.
Yep, and the next one will be the post-MarsCon wrap-up, so yes. I expect it to be long.
Yes, 11 days till MarsCon.
Yep.
So, MarsCon.org, MarsConDementia.com, March 4th through 6th, 2011, at the Crown Plaza, whatever it's called now, in Bloomington, Minnesota, a suburb of the Twin Cities. So, yeah. What shade of pink are you wearing today, Carrie?
I'm wearing MarsCon 2010 shirt. It is light pink, and it says, MarsCon 2010 Dementia Track, bow to your Dark Lord, and has cartoons, and I've worn it on this show at least once, enough, if not two other times.
Whee! Okay, ignorance stories. A couple of drunk people I dealt with this weekend. One was this guy, I had, like, just literally finished drawing somebody, and that person stepped away. Drunk guy walks up to me, "Do you draw these by hand?" What other ways are there to draw? No, I'm from MIT, and I've programmed this robot to draw for me.
That's a good one.
This one's even better. This mom who's, I don't know, this she was fairly tall, fairly husky, and she had two kids with her. One was her son, one was her son's friend. And she was just kind of like, you know, hey, come on, sit down, get drawn. And the boy's like, I don't want to. No, come on, it'll be great. And she finally talks him into sitting down. And I begin to realize fairly quickly, the reason the boy doesn't want to get drawn is not because he doesn't want the drawing. It's because he doesn't want to be embarrassed yet again by his drunk mother in front of some stranger.
Yeah.
So he sits down. I'm trying to, like, figure out what it is she wants me to do for them, and she's, you know, immediately and kind of drunkenly, like, finds, her eyes are drawn to the most expensive price there for two people, like $40. You're getting that $40 one, and I'm thinking, oh, cool, cha-ching, all right, I'll do that. So then I'm like, all right, so how do you want them to be drawn? What do you mean? Like, well, it's like one of those things where I'm trying to explain, but the person just isn't listening to me and just is cutting and interrupting. It's like, well, what I'm trying to do. And she's like, no, I want you to make them look dumb. You know, like, you know, draw them like, you know, put them in. And so I try to explain to her that I want to, you know, find out what kind of body and background they want specifically so I know what to draw. She's like, well, I don't know, just make them look all gay and stuff.
Are you shitting me?
I am not shitting you.
Oh my God. You should have called the fucking...
And she's like, yeah, just like have them look really, you know, stupid and embarrassing. You know, have them look all dumb and gay and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, she kind of drunkenly would meander off a little bit. So then I lean forward to the kid. I'm like, all right, so, you know, what do you want to have? And I honestly, right now, I'm blanking on what specifically the two of them said. No, wait, I remember. Zombies. They wanted to be fighting zombies.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. So it's like two kids in color. So I was drawing one of them with a chainsaw, the other one with a shotgun and a bat with zombies behind them, like, our brains, you know? So that's pretty cool. So I'm drawing. And then, okay, once again, visual things in an audio medium, but I have to do this and Carrie can just react.
Okay.
So you're me drawing them.
I have to turn around.
No, you need to face this way as if you are drawing kids in front of you.
Okay, I'm drawing.
So you're me and I'm drawing and she'd be like, yeah. Just kind of getting her face up, like really weird. In fact, at certain points, I wouldn't be able to see her, but I just feel like her exhaling on my neck.
You could smell her alcohol breath.
Yeah, basically. And then she would go away, and she'd come back around the other side. And then every so often, she'd be like, no, sorry. And I didn't know if she was talking to me or somebody else. And then at one point, while she's talking to her sons, her hand is on my head. Like, I'm doing, like, a bunny ear devil horns thing while she's talking to her son, like physically touching me while I'm trying to do things.
And resting her weight on you doing.
Yeah, and it's like, I give him devil horns, isn't that great? And then when she goes to pull her hand away, she starts doing this. just tussling my hand. See, now you know me. I'm one of your best friends, and me doing that to you...
I'm pretending you're like a giant, husky, strange woman who's drunk.
So like, I have some husky, drunk, strange woman hovering over me, breathing on me, literally breathing down my neck and playing with my hair while I'm drawing her kids.
Oh my God. You should have called the fucking... What is it called? The DFMS something? The
DFS.
Yeah, Department of Family Service on this bitch. Oh my God.
So at some point she gets distracted or whatever, or maybe she wants another drink, so she wanders off and she's gone. You know, a few minutes later, I finish the caricature, I give it to the two kids, and I figure, like, okay, they're going to go find mom, get the money, and come back. I start working on the next caricature, which was another one that took quite a while to get through because it was in color. And I get done with that one. And I still haven't gotten paid, and I haven't seen the drunk mom or the two kids. So the next people go to sit down, and I think they were at least around for the very end of, you know, that lady. And I said to them, excuse me, you're going to have to wait a couple minutes. I need to walk around the arcade and try to find these people who haven't paid me yet. So I, like, paced back and forth in the arcade, you know, said, I'm sorry, I got to go check upstairs. I went and looked around upstairs, didn't find them, you know, came back downstairs, and I was just about to, like, give up when I noticed the two boys over by one of the crane games or some shit like that. So I'm like, oh, excuse me, guys. And then the kid was like, oh, here, and then, like, paid me, you know, so... So then I went back and, you know, that was fine. But, like, I was just, like, sitting there thinking that the whole time when they were gone, it's like, this is going to be the most epic story ever if she doesn't pay me.
Yeah.
It's like, I got felt up and breathed on and then...
That's horrible.
And then did a $40 drawing and didn't get paid for it. But I did get paid for it.
You're making me appreciate getting up early and, like, wasting away in a cubicle. God, at least I don't have to deal with the public.
Because I told Sarah about that when I got home that night, right? I was just like, I just couldn't help but have to tell it to somebody.
Chewy kitty.
All
right, what do we got? And then we can get out of here. So,
yay!
I'm gonna run to the grocery
store. Sarah's running to the grocery store.
Bye, Sarah. Bye, grocery store.
Thank you.
I'm kind of like Shy Ronnie when a podcast is going. So. I'll go start singing in my car really loud.
She's not shy in real life, just whenever the mic's turned on.
By the way, when we were playing You Don't Know Jack, I wanted to point out that there's the whole portion of that game where you can, quote, screw over somebody. And the one game I played, Carrie was also playing, and she screwed me over. So then later in the game, when I knew the question was about sports, I screwed her over. And then at the end of that round, you were like, I don't know anything about sports. And I said, yeah, that's why I chose to screw you over. And she totally hauled off and smacked me in the arm as hard as I could.
Yes. It was fun.
Yes. Anyways, now it's time for comments, so you go first.
Comments go at the end of the show. Arkel says, haven't listened to the show yet as of this writing, but the topic discussed in the show notes reminds me of the Nostalgia Critics video, The Top 11 Hottest Animated Women. Link helpfully included for anyone who hasn't seen the vid yet.
I watched that vid, and I basically agree. The only things they included that I kind of felt like, oh yeah, I forgot about that, was mentioning, I think tied for number two on his list were Ariel from The Little Mermaid and Jasmine from Aladdin. And he said the only reason Belle was excluded was because Belle isn't showing her navel.
And then, like, during our song breaks, recording breaks of this show, you saw a picture of Jessica Rabbit in a Slave Leia costume.
Yeah, so somebody posted a link to that on Facebook. All right, Intrepid Elizabeth says, well, I guess I am the Intrepid Elizabeth. Great reviews, as always. Was the sound on this review intentionally off, or was it the fact that it was on Skype? Just wondering for those of us who can't do iTunes, can we get the April Fool CD off of, say, Amazon? And I'm not quite sure which CD you're referring to, the April Fool CD.
I'm assuming that she got us our release date of our best of mixed up with... Devo Spice, or
I understand.
Oh,
now.
No! She's talking about Devo Spice.
Yeah, she's talking about Devo Spice's album release. He's specifically wanting it to happen on iTunes because when a large number of people order it on iTunes simultaneously, it helps iTunes recognize it as a popular thing.
Yes.
So it'll get mentioned on there. Here's the top sellers of the day or whatever.
Yes.
Which leads to a lot more people noticing it.
And you'll get a free copy of the physical CD anyways if you buy it on April 1st. So if there's any, like, if for some reason iTunes doesn't work on your system, if you can go borrow someone else's or, you know, whatever, you're still going to get a copy of the CD.
Yeah, so basically he's saying even if you don't regularly use iTunes, he's asking everybody as a favor to specifically buy it on that site at that, you know, during that day.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to achieve a specific goal by people doing that.
Yeah.
So I'd say contact Devo Spice for more details through his website.
Wildcard says, did I just hear a new character for the Dementia Smackdown wrestling match at MarsCon? I can hear Mr. Tuesday groaning now and trying to add that character to the mix. What is he talking about?
The rally raccoon.
Oh. All right.
So Zahui says, Luke's crush on Mrs. Incredible reminded me of one of the great truths in life, or a guy's life anyway. You know you're getting older when you realize that when you're walking down the street, you're looking at the mamas instead of the daughters. Okay, so this next one continues on to the next page.
Okay. Sorry. Bar 1 Scorpio says, okay, so where are we going here, feedbackers? Con stories or cartoon crushes? As for the former, first cartoon crush was a toss-up. Lynn Minmay and Lisa Hayes from Robotech. Quite the conundrum, given that it was also the decision that protagonist Rick Hunter had to face. Go with the flighty Asian starlet wearing Chinese dresses or the mature military maiden? Hey, Robotech was a different kind of cartoon. Which leads into a con story. Year 2 of YumaCon, we had Tony Oliver, Brett Weaver, and Kevin Simbeda as guests on the Dais of a Robot... What is that? D-A-I-S.
I think it's supposed to be the word dais.
On the Dais of a Robotech panel, with me serving as the fanboy slash interviewer. It was a really neat panel, as you had the original voice of Rick Hunter from Robotech, the voice of Roy Fokker in the remastered translation of Macross, the original Japanese title, and the creator of the Robotech RPG from Palladium Books. Even more interesting, as all three had a Carl Masek, the producer of Robotech, is a batshit insane story. But some things that stuck with me from childhood cartoon watching, what I remember as some kind of pre-sexual imprinting, we guys tend to have something we like about girls even before we technically like girls. But, okay, the aforementioned Chinese dresses, those numbers with the high collar and slit up the side, Asian women in general, Robotech ruined me. Girl in oversized shirt with bare legs. I'll thank Lady J and G.I. Joe for that one. Wonder if any listeners know the episode I'm talking about. Luke does.
Well, the Luke does was added by me, yes. So that I could put
it in. That's okay, I can still read it.
Luke does.
So, yeah, just to recap, there is an episode of G.I. Joe where Cobra has taken over some kind of health spa and is doing evil things there. So three of the Joes, one of which is Lady J, it was like Lady J and two other guys, go there to investigate, and then they get trapped in this, like, spa, and then a bunch of this weird steam comes in, and then they start, like growing younger and younger until they're, like, little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, throughout the rest of the episode, while they are little kids trying to fight Cobra, you know, by riding skateboards and shit like that, at some point, Lady J's, like, they were all wearing, like, these kind of sweatsuits, and Lady J was jumping away from a laser blast, and her pants came off.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's just wearing, like, this big oversized shirt, kind of like it's a big dress or something.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the episode, they get returned back into adults, you know, or whatever, and then the last shot of the episode is, like, Lady J standing there, like, holding her shirt down, trying to cover up the fact that she's not wearing...
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like, I knew immediately when he referenced that, I'm like, oh, that one, of course.
Okay, should I go on?
Go on.
Barb 1 Scorpio goes on. Wrench Wenches, gadget from Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. Of course, turn her into a cartoon mouse into a real... from a cartoon mouse into a real girl, and you have Kaylee from Firefly. One-piece coveralls, interest in machinery, leaving her occasionally smudged with grease, oil, and dirt. Of course, now Chris Overstreet, Redneck Gagent on DementiaRadio.org, now accuses me of having a lace fetish because of the elegant gothic Lolita fashion prevalent in fandom. And I'll admit, I tend to let my eyes linger longer on a girl in ruffles and frills more than some chick with a tramp stamp and hip huggers. And finally...
And finally, Computer King says, Raccoon!
And
that's comments.
That's the end of the show, right?
We don't have any voicemails. We don't have any new iTunes reviews. So please make comments and leave us voicemails and iTunes reviews. The voicemail line is 916-LUKESKI. That's 916-585-3754. So I guess that's about it.
I'm bleeding profusely.
Yay! So until next time, I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And she's bleeding profusely. In her crotch.
Hey!
It's true.
Well, I didn't specify...
Washington came first and he was perfect. John Adams kept us out of war with France. Jefferson made a Louisiana Purchase.
In 1812 James Madison kicked the British in the pants. James Monroe told Europe they could suck it. John Quincy Adams looked just like his dad. Andrew Jackson got rid of all the Indians. Van Buren served one term, but he wasn't bad. William Henry Harrison died early. John Tyler annexed Texas from Mexico. James K. Polk fought Mexico to keep it. Taylor was a Mexican war hero. Fillmore gave a boat to Commodore Perry. Pierce repealed the Missouri Compromise. Buchanan saw the Civil War's beginnings. Lincoln saved the Union, then he died. Johnson just survived impeachment. General Grant enjoyed a drink or two. Rutherford B. Hayes ended Reconstruction. Garfield was assassinated in 1882. Arthur suspended Chinese immigration. Cleveland made the railroad people squirm. Harrison signed the Sherman Antitrust Act. Grover Cleveland served another term. McKinley kicked the Spanish out of Cuba. Roosevelt was handy with a gun. Taft was big and fat and had a mustache. Wilson kicked some ass in World War I. Harding said let's laissez-faire with business. Coolidge made the roaring 20s roar. Hoover screwed the pooch in the Great Depression. Roosevelt beat the Nazis in the war. Truman dropped a bomb on Hiroshima. Eisenhower kept the commies well in hand. Kennedy was killed by a magic bullet. Johnson murdered kids in Vietnam. Nixon was a sweating, filthy liar. Ford gave Nixon pardon for his crimes. Carter lusted in his heart for peanuts. Reagan won the Cold War and lost his mind. George Bush Sr. poked at Saddam Hussein. Clinton gave an intern a cigar. W's legacy is a work in progress. That is all the presidents so far. In the year 2005, we're out of money. Somewhere surely freedom's on the march. I don't like to make political statements.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
I hate the movie! This is
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.